It's not just enough to give people power over their working lives. We believe in extending democracy across the board. And we know one of the most urgent tasks that we face when we go into government will be to rebuild local democracy, rebuild those local council services decimated by the Conservatives and, yes, the Lib Dems as well when they were in government. My generation inherited a treasure of public parks, libraries, swimming pools and leisure centres, free or affordable for all. But you know, in too many cases now, they're gone. They've been privatised or they've priced out the families they were built for. These public assets meant a better life for millions of us. And they were part of the welfare state that our movement, our Labour governments fought for and built, providing free at the point of use the things that made life worth living. I believe we shouldn't limit our ambition to simply repairing the damage caused by 9 years of Tory cuts. We've got to go further. Got to go further. So today I'm launching a document on universal basic services. It lays out our belief that everyone has a right to a good life, that the state has a responsibility to make good on that right by providing public services free at the point of use. These services are part of our shared experiences, experiences that are too important to be left to the market, whether a family can afford them or not, or whether they receive them or not. As socialists, let's be clear. Let's make it absolutely clear to everyone. We believe that people have the right to education, health, a home and a decent environment, and yes, access to culture and leisure. I fervently believe the right to dignity in retirement is part of that right to health. Older people have the right to that dignity at every stage of their lives. And you know as well as I do, the truth is our social care system at the moment is a national scandal. There's been nearly £8 billion taken from council budgets for social care since 2010. The result is 1 million people not getting the care that they need. Immense scale of human suffering and stress placed upon them and their families. More than 5 million unpaid carers, most of them women, looking after loved ones. And overworked, underpaid care workers only being allowed 10-minute visits to those they care for because the current system won't pay for more. A report last week demonstrated how, at the same time, many of the big care providers have developed highly complex corporate structures. Yes, and involving offshore tax havens, sucking even more money out of the system. So I can announce today, after years of campaigning by trade unions and carers, as the first building block in our new National Care Service, the next Labour government will introduce personal care free at the point of use in England. It will be funded. It will be funded not through Conservatives' gimmicky insurance schemes, but like the NHS and other essentials, it will be funded through a fair taxation system where everybody pays their way. We're publishing the first steps of our National Care Service vision today, investing in the workforce and ensuring that those care workers are employed, that they're employed, on local authority, rates of pay, working conditions and training to deliver the high quality care as Unison and the GMB have advocated for so long. Over time, we'll bring those services back into public ownership and democratic control. We'll ensure that local councils have the necessary resources after years of savage cuts, building up the capacity in local government for both care homes and domiciliary care, back under public democratic control. And as a start, we'll require all providers, public, private or charitable, to adhere to strict criteria on ethical standards. Because I believe, and I believe you share this belief, there's nothing more important than dignity in retirement for those who built our country and given younger generations the world we live in today. It is a debt of honour. I want to say a personal thank you to the hard work and leadership that Barbara Keeley has shown in driving forward the policy on this issue over years so that we can achieve the breakthrough today. Barbara Keeley. Of course, as you know, in Scotland, a government has already introduced free personal care. A Labour government introduced free personal care. So when we spend the billions needed to guarantee free personal care in England, there actually will be billions more for First Minister Richard Leonard when he takes office in 2021. A Labour government making millions of lives better across the UK, thanks to our transformative policies in Westminster, but also through the new resources for the Scottish and Welsh governments as we roll out our transformative policies. But you know, of all the universal rights that we hold dear, I suppose nothing is more important than the right to survival, the survival of our planet. I believe when historians write about 2019, the most important political event so far has not been the replacement of one useless Tory Prime Minister with another one. It's a consistent pattern. It's been the emergence of climate change as the most important political question of the day. Nobody has done more in Parliament than my colleagues Sue Hayman and Rebecca Long-Bailey to pave the way for Parliament declaring a climate emergency this year. And outside Parliament, I want to pay tribute. Just the exhilaration of it. I want to pay tribute to the school strikers and Extinction Rebellion. I've been so proud to march and demonstrate alongside them. Despite the climactic conditions, they always seem to choose a day when it's raining. They've shamed older generations of politicians into taking climate change seriously and with the urgency it needs. Now it's essential that the Labour movement continues to join in solidarity with those young people to help lead that fight. And for my part, I will make sure the Treasury puts in whatever resources are necessary to meet our climate change obligations. Whatever is necessary. We're setting up a sustainable investment board, coordinating the Treasury, the Business Department, and the Bank of England. £250 billion of green government investment in our National Transformation Fund. £250 billion more of lending through our National Investment Bank, delivered at grassroots by regional development banks and our new Post Bank. And while... And let me make this clear as well. While the Labour government will need to take the lead, yes, with state investment, we'll make whatever forms are necessary to ensure the finance sector isn't pushing the other way by investing in carbon-intensive sectors for the future. That means billions more raised through green bonds and support for a European Green New Deal programme so that we can bring forward significantly that 2050 date. We're mobilising financial resources on a scale not seen since the post-war reconstruction to achieve the twin goals of a sustainable future and a better today. In July, at our inaugural International Social Forum, I reiterated our support for socialist internationalism. We recognise that the first industrial revolution meant Britain was the first major contributor to climate change, something that left a lasting legacy for the global south. And to begin making some reparations for our colonial past, I pledge we will provide the citizens of the global south free or cheap access to the green technologies that we develop as part of our green industrial revolution. It is only just. And we'll work with other countries and social movements across the globe to reform the major international bodies, to enable them to coordinate the global response to climate change. There's an old trade union saying, the cause of labour is the hope of the world. Here in Britain, it's the Labour Party that's carrying that hope into this century. The hope of a world where the riches of our planet are shared. The hope of the world with the chance for everyone to realise their full potential. And we know, look, we know we won't build that world overnight. And let nobody tell you it will be easy or that it won't face enormous resistance. I tell you this, I believe our time is coming. Time to start work on that historic mission, to lay the foundations of a new world. And you know, sometime in the future, when they ask you, where were you when our people were left to sleep on the streets? When families queued at food banks to survive? When the Tories tried to sell our country out to Trump? When climate change threatened our planet and our very existence? I want you to be able to say, I built the homes and the public services our people needed. I want you to be able to say, I made sure everyone was fed and cared for, with nobody forced to endure poverty. I want you to be able to say, I saved the planet by tackling climate change. I helped lay the foundations of that new society, foundations so deeply rooted that no Tory in the future can ever break them up. And when they ask you, how did you do that? You can tell them, I supported Labour. I joined Labour. I voted for Jeremy Corbyn. I elected a Labour government. That's how. Solidarity.